Hello? Can y'all hear me? Or is that just in my head? Good evening, good evening. How's everybody doing? Doing okay? I know y'all loving this heat outside. I know I'm not. I know you're not either. It is terrible heat. Terrible heat. I'm looking forward to fall time. Anybody? Could be having wildfires for sure. But anyway, all that other stuff. Well, it's good to be here this evening, Wednesday night, prayer meeting, Bible study. Hope everybody's been having a good week. And we will jump right into things tonight. And let's remember Brother Ceylon in prayer. He's got at least one kidney stone going on right now. And so let's remember him in prayer. Let's also remember Brother Harold Dolph in prayer. Miss Dolores, I haven't spoken with her this week. Has anybody spoken with Miss Dolores this week? Miss Cassie, how is she?
She's doing okay. She's just in a lot of pain, and the doctor said it could be October, or she's completely
healed.
She's been in a lot of pain.
Yeah. Okay. Well, let's remember her. And I heard Miss Dawn Capistrano, her surgery was canceled.
That's correct.
Okay. All right. So that was canceled. And, of course, Miss Claudia, she's been sick. She was here Sunday morning, of course, to see Kristen get baptized and the others. But she's trying to get better. But let's remember her in prayer. Remember our children's home. And remember Tracy Reese and her mother, Miss Connie Norton, her heart issues. Miss Angie, Brother Jeff Hodges' sister-in-law with her heart trouble. Don and Carla over on the mission field, and all of our other missionaries, foreign and home missions. Let's remember Randy and Diane Ely, the Dailies, the Ashworths. All of our shut-ins, including Barbara Anderson, Jimmy and Jenny Clanton, Fletcher Denton, remember him, the McCrickards, Joyce Manning, and then those in the military, James Tolan Brown in the Marines, Peyton Cochran in the Navy, and Kevin Brook, Champion Christian College. Let's remember them in our prayers. And I'll open up the floor to you. Someone have a prayer request, an updated praise? Brother Jeff? Sure.
If you're listening, Denver, we're praying for you.
Amen. Praying for Denver tonight. Appreciate that. Hassan?
Pray for me. I'm about to get surgery on my face. 2 weeks
again. I will. When is that going to be?
I'm not sure. It's coming up.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you for sharing that. We'll be praying for that. Anyone else? Brother David? Jeez, okay. We sure will. Thank you for mentioning that. Anyone else? Well, it was a great Sunday, last Sunday, wasn't it? Had seven baptized in the morning and one in the evening. And had a good bit of folks visiting with us. I believe we had 95 Sunday morning. And her name slips my mind. But anyway, had some good amount of visitors for Sunday night, so had a good time Sunday night. And Cadence. I want to say Credence. And then I wanted to say Candace. So anyway, Miss Cadence getting baptized Sunday night. And what a blessing that was. And so let's pray for another good Lord's Day. Let's see. 1 second. I'm trying to think and write something out at the same time. Kind of like trying to pat your head and rub your belly. One of those things. But anyway, excellent Sunday last Sunday. And again, this is the last Sunday of the month. This coming Sunday. And it's going to be our last time in the fellowship hall for a while. That was our summer program. And but we need to get back up here and focus in on some singing and our visitors knowing where we're at. But anyway, we'll always have the last Sunday night for dinner and a devotion downstairs of every month. So that'll be especially special having it once a month. So remember that. And, of course, on the 10th will be our homecoming. And if you haven't signed up already to bring something, if you would like to bring something, sign-up sheet is on my right over here. Remember that. And a choir to sing at Victory on the very next day, the 11th of September at 7 o'clock. And, again, Tom Hayes will be preaching and our choir will be singing. It'll just be a great, great night. It'll do us good to get out of the house a little bit. Go over there and try to be a blessing to the people over there at Victory. Also, I made up a handwritten sign-up sheet on over here to my right on the church yard sale. And I kind of want to see what dates work best for the majority. There's some dates that won't work good for me and my family, but I wanted to see. So if you are interested in getting some of that stuff you don't ever use out of the garage, and coming over here and selling it, that'll be a great time to do so. And again, we're going to do this as a means of funding our project in the hallway, getting that painted. That way nobody, you know, has to come out of pocket, nor will the church have to pay or anything along those lines. And so it's also going to be a ministry outreach day, and we'll be cooking out. It'll just be a great way to do a couple different things. Fund this project and reach out to the community. So looking forward to that. Again, the sign-up sheet's over here with projected dates, if whatever you think may be good for you. I'll have it out here on Sunday as well, and then we'll set a date and we'll do it. That way we can get this hallway going, get it painted. And but anyway, all right. Well, is that all y'all got tonight? Okay. Well, if that's all we have, we'll meet for a time of prayer, and then Brother Jeff will have a song for us. Appreciate that tonight. Things always go better with singing. So we appreciate that. All right. We've been looking at the pastor, the deacons, and the church series the past little while. And tonight, we will try to bring it to a close, is what we'll try to do. We've really been starting over with some of the elementary things concerning the local church, and I hope the lessons have refreshed your memory, maybe even allowed you to think of things that you don't normally think of, but because of this kind of lesson and lessons, it has allowed you to think of some things concerning the local church that may have helped you. And so tonight I want to talk about the responsibilities of the church. The responsibilities of the church. Again, we've talked about the qualifications for the pastor. We talked about the qualifications for the deacons. But we're going to talk about not the qualifications for the church, but the responsibilities of the church. And I'm only going to mention some things. I want to make that clear and be honest. I'm only going to mention some things. You yourself will probably think of some other things concerning the church. The body of Christ, and the local church. You'll probably think of some things on your own, and that's fine. I hope the lessons do provoke some thinking, and so that's what we want. But on the same token, I can't perfectly and entirely sum up everything tonight when it comes to the church, but I'll share some things that I feel are important. Now, we're going to share a couple things that basically are found within the local church, man-made. But then some other things I'm going to share that are from the Bible in particularly. So I want to give you four O's tonight. I'll give you four O's when it comes to this responsibility of the church. Number one, first O is our beliefs as a church. Number two, our church covenant. When was the last time you heard that? Church covenant. I want to mention our membership. And then I want to mention our words and phrases concerning the church. And so if we can do that, I think that we'll have time well spent tonight. Number one, our beliefs. I'll have you turn in a specific spot in the Bible in just a minute. Our beliefs. Our beliefs as a New Testament Bible-believing church. Well, what we have is, it's called the Articles of Faith. Articles of Faith. And most churches have their Articles of Faith listed on their church website. Some churches even have it somewhere on a wall behind a plaque or a picture frame. And it states what we believe so that if somebody wants to visit our church, they'll know what we believe before they come. And if it doesn't line up with what they believe, then they won't come. And so, what is it with the Articles of Faith? Well, if I could just, if you'll just indulge me a little bit tonight, I got a little bit of reading to do concerning our Articles of Faith. The Articles of Faith is this: what we believe concerning the Scriptures, what we believe concerning the true God, what we believe concerning the fall of man, the way of salvation, justification, and I can make you copies if you like some, the freeness of salvation, regeneration, repentance and faith, God's purpose of grace, sanctification. There's a lot of articles of faith. Perseverance of the saints, the law and gospel, a gospel church, baptism and the Lord's Supper, the Christian Sabbath, civil government, righteousness and wickedness, and the world to come. Again, if you'd like a copy of the Articles of Faith, just to have them, I was going to get copies for tonight, but I ran out of time. And I'm not going to read off all of these, but I do want to mention just a couple. Concerning the Scriptures, this is what we believe as a New Testament Bible-believing church. We believe that the Holy Bible was written by men divinely inspired and is a perfect treasure of heavenly instruction, that it has God for its author, salvation for its end, and truth without any mixture of error for its matter. That it reveals the principles by which God will judge us and therefore is and shall remain to the end of the world the true center of Christian union and the supreme standard by which all human conduct, creeds, and opinions shall be tried. The Scriptures, divinely inspired by God. God breathed. God used men to do so. And you know that. But it's good to, as we go through the responsibilities of the church, to lay the groundwork. And that is, that's what we believe concerning the Scriptures. The true God. We believe the Scriptures teach that there is one and only one living and true God, an infinite, intelligent God, whose name is Jehovah, the maker and supreme ruler of heaven and earth, inexpressibly glorious in holiness and worthy of all possible honor and confidence and love, that in the unity of the Godhead there are three persons, the Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost, equal in every divine perfection and executing distinct but harmonious offices in the great work of redemption. That's a lot to digest. I mean, it just is. But to sum it all up, God's God. And there's only one God, Jehovah God. So what do we believe concerning the fall of man? We believe the Scriptures teach that man was originally created in holiness under the law of his Maker, but by voluntary transgressions fell from that holy and happy state, in consequence of which all mankind are now sinners, not by constraint, but choice, being by nature utterly void of that holiness required by the law of God, positively inclined to evil. Sometimes parents say, my child will never do that. Oh, watch out. We all are an unclean thing. None doeth good, no, not one. So we're all inclined to evil, and therefore under just condemnation to eternal ruin, without defense or excuse. That's what we believe concerning the fall of man in a nutshell. Let me just read two more. The way of salvation. We believe that the Scriptures teach that the salvation of sinners is wholly of grace through the mediatorial offices of the Son of God, who by the appointment of the Father freely took upon him our nature yet without sin, honored the divine law by his personal obedience, and by his death made a full atonement for our sins, that having risen from the dead, he is now enthroned in heaven and uniting in his wonderful person the tenderest sympathies with divine perfections. He is in every way qualified to be a suitable and a compassionate and all-sufficient Savior. What about justification? Here's what we believe about justification. We believe the Scriptures teach that the great gospel blessing which Christ secures to such as believe in him is justification. That justification includes the pardon of sin and the promise of eternal life on principles of righteousness that is bestowed not in consideration of any works of righteousness which we have done, but solely through faith in the Redeemer's blood, by virtue of which faith his perfect righteousness is freely imputed to us of God, that it brings us into a state of most blessed peace and favor with God and secures every other blessing needful for time and eternity. Justification, or you can look at it this way, justified, never sinned. And there is a whole lot when it comes to justification. more than just the pardon of sin. And again, these are the articles of faith. We won't spend a long time reading all those tonight, but there's a lot of them, and just a great, great refresher to go back and just really refresh ourselves on what we believe. And it's also good to not only know what you believe, but why you believe what you believe. But that's getting into a soul-winning study, so that you know not only what you believe, but why you believe what you believe. Well, I believe that Jesus is the way to heaven. Why do you believe that? You know, we come in contact with people in this world. I seen today, crossing over the Silver Comet, going through the backside of Hiram, the Jehovah Witnesses, they have a stand out there, and it's like every day around lunchtime, they're out there. They're out there in their dresses. They're out there handing out watchtower tracts. Well, one day I'm going to pull over and stop and walk up to one of them and say, "What y'all have to offer?" And, you know, act like I don't know nothing, kind of undercover. Undercover, brother. And they say, "Well, this. I'll say, "Well, I've always heard that Jesus is the way. I've always heard there's the Holy Ghost." So I like to mess with them every chance I can get. But we need to know why we believe what we believe. All right, that's our beliefs tonight. Our beliefs. And it has to do with the articles of faith as a New Testament Bible-believing church. Now, what about our church covenant? What about our church covenant? Most Baptist church covenants are the same. I know that Zion View had one. Pleasant Hill had one. I mean, it was displayed largely on the wall. And, you know, I learned something at Zion View, the first church I pastored. I learned that there may be a time where you have to pull out that covenant and display it. It's sad that some people just will not obey God's word. But if you put a man-made law on the wall saying, "At this church, we don't do this, and it's our covenant, we all believe in it, and if you can't agree to it, then you have to leave," you'll be surprised at the obedience you'll get out of a man-made law versus God's Bible, the Word of God. It's backwards. But I remember one time at our first church, and man came down to join and said he'd been saved, and I was excited, you know, wanted more members. I said, "Sure, come on down." You know, everybody agreed, and he was accepted. And he joined the church, and he was an alcoholic. And every single time we had communion, he opposed me. Every time. I'm talking about, this was a big man, big burly man, wore overalls every time he came to church, and he opposed me. I mean, one time leaving church, he stuck his finger right in my chest and pressed in and said that I'm wrong about everything I preach about alcohol and about communion and all that. He was defending his addiction. And I said, "Well, he's not listening to the Bible, and so let me go dig out the church covenant where it says that if you join this church, you must abstain from alcoholic beverages." And it said it on there. I put it on the wall. I had no other problems from him. Isn't that something? It's sad, isn't it? But there's a purpose for church covenants. And let me just read you this church covenant. Ceylon had mentioned that, I believe, Miss Catherine, we have one on file somewhere. But I'm 99.9% sure this will be the same one that we have. Listen to this, church covenant. "Having been led, as we believe, by the Spirit of God to receive the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, and on the profession of our faith, having been baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, we do now, in the presence of God and this assembly, most solemnly and joyfully enter into covenant with one another as one body in Christ." Listen. "We engage, therefore, by the aid of the Holy Spirit, to walk together in Christian love, to strive for the advancement of this church in knowledge, holiness, and comfort, to promote its prosperity and spirituality, to sustain its worship, ordinances, discipline, and doctrines, to contribute cheerfully and regularly to support to the support of the ministry, the expenses of the church, the relief of the poor, and the spread of the gospel through all nations. We also engage to maintain family and secret devotions, to religiously educate our children, to seek the salvation of our kindred and acquaintances, to walk circumspectly in the world, to be just in our dealings, faithful in our engagements, and exemplary in our deportment, to avoid all gossiping, backbiting, and excessive anger, to abstain from the sale of and use of destructive drugs or intoxicating drinks as a beverage, to shun pornography, to be zealous in our efforts to advance the kingdom of our Savior. We further engage to watch over one another in brotherly love, to remember one another in prayer, to aid one another in sickness and distress, to cultivate Christian sympathy and feeling and Christian courtesy and speech, to be slow to take offense, but always ready for reconciliation and mindful of the rules of our Savior to secure it without delay. We, moreover, engage that when we remove from this place, we will, as soon as possible, unite with some other church where we can carry out the spirit of this covenant and the principles of God's Word. That's your typical church covenant, at least in the Baptist realm that I've seen, church covenant agreement. And from this time forward, when anybody wants to join, I'm going to give them a copy of this. And we're going to take the necessary steps to protect our people. And, you know, because, I mean, we want workers. We want those who are wanting to be here and further what we're doing, share the vision. And so, like I said, you put this on the wall, you'll be surprised at some of the things that can clear up. It's sad, but true, when God's word is sufficient to clear things up. But if you put something like this on the wall, you'll be surprised at how things can really clear up. So that's our church covenant, our beliefs. And now I just want to mention something on our membership for just a moment. And keep in mind, we're talking about the responsibility of the church. The church being the body of Christ, of course, but then also a local assembly. Our membership. Our membership is available if anyone believes in the articles of faith mentioned, our church covenant, also believes in the mission and vision of this church. You say, Brother Justin, what's the mission and the vision of this church? In a nutshell, and this is something I want to get done soon, I want to get our mission and our vision enlarged in a frame, and I do want to put that on the wall somewhere so that when people come, they say, hey, they got a vision, they've got a mission. In a nutshell, our mission is reaching the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Our vision is to get, grow, and go. Get, meaning get people saved. Grow, meaning spiritually and numerically. And then go, meaning reaching the world and using whatever gifts you have. And so we see that membership is available for those who adopt the things we've just read. Now, membership is accountability for all of us, isn't it? You know, you become a member down at the gun club and they have an event. And they're reading on their list who's all there, who's not there. It's accountability. That's what it is. So membership is accountability for all of us. You remember in the book of Genesis, who was it? What was it? Adam who asked Cain, where's Abel? And he says, am I my brother's keeper? Yeah, you are your brother's keeper. And we are to look after one another. And we are to care for one another, hold each other accountable. Sunday morning, in the morning service, before baptizing the seven, that was part of my message, was the accountability that by getting baptized, telling the world that you are new, guess what? You are now being held accountable by all the viewers of what just happened. That's our responsibility. Church membership or not, if someone gets saved and baptized and you know about it, it's our job to hold them responsible for their walk. And so praying this week and talking to the Lord, I'm certainly going to do that as far as my part, as I know I'm held accountable as well. I want to hold others accountable. Membership is commitment from us. It's accountability. It's commitment. Membership is special. You can say, this is my church, my church. And when you have a church membership, you have a sense of belonging. So membership is special. It's your church. It's a sense of belonging. Become a member, and you can become a member of this church and most Baptist churches in one of three ways: by baptism, and or statement of faith, or transfer of letter. Those three ways you can join a Baptist church. Now, the ones that got baptized Sunday, they're not church members. I already spoke to them about this, and that'll be held at a later time upon talking about it a couple more times. Church membership should be taken very seriously. And so we see that. Baptism, statement of faith, transfer of letter. Everyone needs a place to call home. Everyone needs a church family. And that is so true. You just never know what lies down the road. And it's good to have a church family, really, whether you're a member or not, to have a church family. But it just feels different when you're actually a member of that church. And not only that, but it's good to have a place to serve and to use your spiritual gifts. You can say, this is my church home. These are my gifts. I share the vision, the mission, all of that. I want to do something, make an impact. I feel like I can make this church better. That's what the goal is with receiving new members. Also, having your own church, being a church member, it's a place to lay down roots. You know, get somewhere, get planted, and then let your roots grow out. Let your roots grow out. Church is a place. Being a church member, going to a church, being part of that church is what's needed to raise a family. Everyone needs a church home to raise a family. Some churches are big, some churches are small. Doesn't matter. Any case, need a church home to raise a family. Need a place to lay down roots. And I will say that before becoming a member of a church, you should make sure you're getting fed before you become a member of that church. Because when it comes to feeding the flock, you have to understand some need milk, others need meat. And so there may be some Sundays where you say you didn't get nothing from the Word, but there may be other Sundays where some said, man, Brother Justin, that changed my life. And so it's an understanding of there is milk and meat going out to the church to feed the flock, but nonetheless, go to where you're getting fed. That's what's most important. And actually in Ephesians, you don't have to turn there. You can look at it later. I tried to go back and look to see where church membership may be implied or wrote out in the Bible, and I don't think you can find it other than in Ephesians 2, verse 13 through 25. It speaks of being in subjection to leadership. We know we're in subjection to leadership with a government. We belong to the government, but we have to answer to them, don't we? And so different places, different kinds of leaders were to be in subjection to. So that might be a hint, not directly to church membership, but a principle nonetheless to be in subjection to your leaders. All right, that's the third O, our membership. The second O was our church covenant. The first O was our beliefs. I want to spend a few minutes here. We may be done a few minutes early or not. But our words and phrases concerning the church. Hebrews 10, you already guessed it, 25. Hebrews 10, 25, we're going to start. We're going to be in Hebrews, Ephesians, Matthew, and Luke. And that should conclude our series. our words and phrases concerning the church. The first word is attendance. Hebrews 10:25 says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. So he tells us, the writer here, not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. He says some are doing that. He says, but you're missing out when you forsake the assembling of yourselves together. You're missing out on edification. He says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching, the day of the Lord approaching. We're to come together more and more, not less and less. Of course, we know the day and time we live in, it's a tough time. And I'm not even going to say it, but I guess I will. They're already talking about another strand of COVID out there. You know, time to get your COVID shots, time to go. And listen, I know COVID was real. I've had friends that died from it. Pulling out, just dealing with all those things with COVID and COVID related. It was real, and it is real. But, I mean, it's like nowadays, people get scared. I mean, so scared. And if there's all the, if you have underlying conditions, that's understandable. You know, not to be ate up with fear, but, you know, listen to it. All right, there's a new strand. Well, guess what? Keep living your life. Be careful and leave the rest to God. But attendance, I mean, we went, year and a half, maybe? Maybe, I don't want to say 2 years, a year and a half with no one coming. And that was because we had it that way. No service. I felt like we shouldn't. But that's when Facebook, of course, really got going, Facebook Live in a lot of churches. I know that I think we're on year 3 of our Facebook Live. And it's been a great thing. But also, it has become something that people use when they can't go to church or don't want to go to church. And listen, the Lord knows, and I'm not knocking anyone. I thank God for those who watch on Facebook. But I heard it put this way. Watching a church service on Facebook is like trying to warm yourself by a digital fire. Like on our TV, we can put fireplace, press a button, and it's a beaut around Christmas time we do that, you know, and just a fake fire. And, you know, you can imagine how it feels. It looks beautiful, but you don't feel nothing. You just don't feel the warmth from it. You're not around it. The smells and none of it. Same way with watching on Facebook. I'm not saying you don't get touched from watching on Facebook. Some do get touched, but there's just a difference. And when it comes to our words and phrases concerning the local church, attendance is a big thing. And so it tells us not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. He says you'll be missing out on edification. Again, we are not being critical, not being mean or unkind to anyone. I thank God for our Facebook page, but at the same time, this new strand's ramping up, so we'll see what happens. I said the word encouragement, and that is the second word. It's found in this verse. He says, but exhorting one another, encouraging one another. You know, church ought to be a place we go to where you know, we pour into the life of others, where we go to be a blessing and go to receive a blessing. Church ought to be that kind of place. If you're going to a church where it becomes, oh gosh, I just can't do it. Pray about that and listen. If God leads someone another way, then God leads them another way. Because ultimately, we need to be where God wants us to be. And so, and listen, there's times when you're not going to enjoy every Sunday getting ready. I wrestle with that, if I have to be honest. But you know what? I change my attitude before I leave the house. And I bring everything in perspective and focus. But there's just going to be times where your family's going through something. And there's going to be times where you're just going through stuff and you don't feel like talking with anybody. You don't feel like, you know, engaging in any conversation. You just want to stay home. And sometimes that might be the best thing, to just stay home as opposed to coming and saying something you might regret. But encouragement should be found at the house of God. There should be encouragement here at the church. Now, Ephesians 4 for a second, if you would. Ephesians 4. And saying the responsibilities of the church, well, it's our responsibility to encourage one another and attend church. But Ephesians 4 is our responsibility to use our gifts. Ephesians 4, look at verse 7. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. And this is the reason for the gifts. For the perfecting of the saints. Tonight, your gift matters. What God has called you to do, what you feel on the inside that you should be doing in the church or are already doing, don't stop doing it if you're doing it. And if you're not doing what you want to do, then I challenge you to do it, because your gift matters. And we are one body in Christ, and it takes every person working out and operating out of their spiritual gift. Some of us are fingers, some of us are toes, some of us are ears. And all the body parts of the human body make up the body of Christ. And if a finger, a digit, is not working, the body's going to feel it. I think about the internal organs. Now, I hope and pray Ceylon's not in no pain tonight. But you get a kidney stone, and all of a sudden, you're going to be thinking about your kidney a whole lot because there's a stone in it. You remove that kidney stone, you're not thinking about your kidneys all day long. They're working, they're functioning, they're operating properly. But you get that kidney stone, and all of a sudden, that's all you can think about is that kidney stone. Same way in the body of Christ, when there's a member, when there's a person who is not operating out of their gift, is not, it's just something isn't right in their life, and you know it. I know it as a pastor. It's just something is off, and that's all you think about is, you know, what's going on with this individual? Let me pray for them. Let me help them. Let me call them. You may get church members on your mind from time to time. Let me call so-and-so. Let me check in with them. What's going on with them? Well, it all goes back to us having a part of the body. And if something isn't right in the body, we feel it as a body. And at the same time, if we use our spiritual gifts, we are being used of God to perfect the body. To perfect the body. So he says, verse 12, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry. Work of the ministry. We need nursery workers, and we have them, thank God. We need Sunday school teachers, and we have them, praise the Lord. We need audio and video men in the sound room, and we have them, and thank the Lord for them each and every day. We need a choir director. We got them. Musicians, we got them. You know, I really can't think of a ministry need, that a person that we need for a specific spot in the ministry we have here that we don't have. We ought to be thankful as a church, and I know you are thankful. But when you sit down and think about what we have here, listen, I've been to some other churches that are around our size, and, I mean, the church is in debt. They owe bukus of money on their building. There's a handful of people that's coming. No one is, there's no musicians. I love Zion View. My mother's buried at Zion View. But when we started Zion View, we had what they call canned music. Anybody heard of canned music? It's pre-recorded music, and with the church hymns. We couldn't get a pianist, didn't have one, didn't have a choir director, didn't have nobody. But we had that canned music, and people walk in, and that piano was going away, and ain't nobody sitting there. And so it was kind of funny, but at the same time, I mean, that, you know, it makes me thankful now for what we have now. It's easy to feel, to get discouraged when you look at what you don't have. It's easy to get discouraged when we spend our time looking in the rearview mirror of times gone by. What if you were driving down the road and all you did was look in the rearview mirror? You wouldn't go very far. And there are people who can't stop looking in the rearview to get to where they're going. They're not getting far. They won't accept change. They don't want to move ahead. And it's all because of the past. Listen, praise God for the past. I honor the past. I respect the past. I've got a past at Floyd Road that I absolutely love. But that's Floyd Road. This is Calvary. And so it's all about just using our gifts and using our time and our talents and doing all these things to edify one another and so that we might grow and move forward in this walk. And so I say, when it comes to the responsibility of the church, use our gifts. Be a working finger. Be a working toe. Be a working arm, a working eye, a working ear. Thank God for all the working parts that we have. I'm not going to focus on the parts that we have that aren't working, because there's a reason why some of the parts aren't working. And use gifts. Look at verse number 2 of chapter 4. This is a big one right here. With all lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering, forbearing, is the phrase, forbearing one another in love. Can anybody tell me what that word, I mean, if you really honestly know what that word forbearing means? Only if you know it, son. Forbearing means to put up with. Now, everybody in here, I'm sure, has some kind of family, or you wouldn't be an actual human being sitting here. You came from somewhere. And in family, there's those times where you just gotta love you. Love you when you're coming, love you when you're going. There's those times when you love them, see them coming, and you love seeing them going. And normally that's over a spat, something, a schism, talking about even our own personal families. Sometimes we just put up with one another, and those times pass, praise the Lord. And if they happen in our home lives and they pass, they happen in church and they pass. But the problem is, somebody will get offended by something and they'll just leave the church completely. Brother Justin, you must have never been offended before. I've been offended. You don't see all the band-aids on me? I've been offended. But I've also offended. I have offended people, sometimes not deliberately and sometimes deliberately. And through me offending and me being offended, I've learned some things. I've learned that when I come to the house of God, I need to be ready with my attitude. I need to be prayed up and ready to go, studied up, of course, because attitude affects everything. I need to walk in church. We all need to, when we come to church, go to church with the right kind of attitude, knowing that, okay, you could offend someone that day. You could also be offended, so why don't you prepare yourself for what happens if you're offended? How are you going to handle that? And just try not to offend anybody else. And so, forbearing one another, putting up with one another, it's a real thing in God's family. Verse number 3, the very next verse. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. The word endeavoring means being unified with our affections and goals, being on the same page. That's one thing I'm thankful for here, is at least I feel like we're all on the same page, you know. I feel like we're unified. I've been in some places that haven't been unified. Trust me, I have been in some situations where it has not been unified. I can't help but be candid. I'm not going to be extremely candid right now, but I'll be a little candid, okay? It's like, man, I got to tell you all this, but it's to help you, you know, to help me. I was involved in a church meeting one time, not, of course, not here, and it wasn't Zion View, but I was involved in a church meeting one time, and they wanted to vote if they were going to go into the Southern Baptist Convention or not. And let me tell you what's the truth. Half the church said yes, and half the church said no. Half the church said, and if you don't know what that means, that's a banana split. That is right down the middle. This side of the row is for it. This side of the row is against it. No unity at all. And it was wrote out that that would never be voted on again. And it was, and it was passed. So now they're part of that. And I'm not knocking the Southern Baptist Convention. I'm just saying that things can happen in churches, and there can be a split. And I'm so very thankful for the unity we have here. And the Bible says that we are to endeavor to keep that unity. Be unified with affections and goals. Problem solvers, not problem starters. I like this one. Boat rowers and not boat rockers. Grab an oar, my friend. Let's do that and let's don't, guess what? And I know y'all don't do that. But it needs to be said. It needs to be said that we need to be boat rowers and not boat rockers. Problem solvers, not problem starters. And we need to endeavor. We need to really stretch ourselves to keep this unity together, because the devil would love nothing more to get in over here at this church and cause a split right down the middle. And he would love to have these doors closed up and locked. And a sign out there says, out of business. That's what the devil would love. He's not going to achieve that while I'm here, because I want to endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit by the power of the Holy Spirit. All right, two more and we're done. Talking about our words and phrases concerning the church, Matthew 28, quickly, and that is to reach the world, to reach the world. The day and time we're living in, we got to be the message is the same, but the method a lot of times has to change, especially the day and time we're living, that some churches still do door knocking. I've always done door knocking of every church I've been at. But you got to be smart about it. You got to, I mean, listen, you go knock on somebody's door and they're having a bad day, they'll shoot you. And so you just got to do that. Talking about reaching the world, I'm not saying don't door knock. But I've found out that sometimes if you do things a little different, like have a cookout, a yard sale, you know, have something to give somebody, a hot dog, a hamburger, you know, sometimes that will win them over better than waking them up on Saturday morning and inviting them to go to church. A lot of churches are successful at that, and it has a lot to do with area that they live in as well. Some are open for God's word. Some want it. Some don't. Some don't. So he says in Matthew 28, verse 19, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Verse 19, we are to evangelize. That's teach people the gospel. They are to receive Jesus as their Savior, and then they are to get baptized, and then we are to disciplize them. My made-up word. Evangelize, baptize, disciplize, that's reaching the world, and so that's what we intend on doing with these. They've gotten baptized. And then lastly, Luke 14, verse number 23. Luke 14, verse 23, Bible says, then said, oh, hold on just a second, 14:23. And the Lord said unto the servant, go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. And so there it is. I mean, it's a word, a phrase, a responsibility of the church is to fill God's house.
Bring them in.
And that hope, that opens up a whole nother aspect of ministry. We just, of course, talked about door knocking versus having events. Being engaged in a community, and that's something that I want us to be better at. And by this church yard sale, I really feel like it'd be a good starting point. But then again, you have a whole another issue of, well, a lot of younger people my age, which that's what we need, is a lot of other people my age. Any age, but a lot. The challenge is there's a lot of churches that are just well-funded, that have bukus of ministries, all the technology, you know, all of the stuff. And so the challenge is trying to modernize with the resources we have here at the same time. And listen, we're not trying to compete with no other church. But we want to do as much as we can do here. That's why we're talking about getting the hallway painted. You know, that's why we painted the church. That's why we got TVs that were donated. It's because we're trying to be all that we can be for the church size that we are. Again, we're not trying to compete with any other church, but we want to be able to say we have some technology at our church. You know, we want to be able to say that we have a freshly painted church on the outside and the inside, and you know, people come to visit. They won't have to walk in and feel scared about something flying out and attacking them. You know, some of these older churches. No, and of course we want all of you, all of our members, to feel good about your church, and I know you do. But the end result is to fill God's house, and I know the day and time we're living in. I know all of that, and that's true. That holds a lot of weight in filling God's church. Is the day and time we're living. There's a falling away. I know that. That is not an excuse. It's a reality. And so in spite of that reality, we're moving forward with our mission and our vision, doing all we can, while we can, until Jesus comes. That's all I got. All we can, while we can, till Jesus comes. The responsibilities of the church. Father, we love you tonight. We thank you. We praise you for who you are and for the things that you do. Thank you for these that are here tonight. Lord, I pray that they enjoy their time being here. And Father, I pray that when we go our separate ways, you'll keep us safe. Lord, bring us back safely on Sunday. Help us invite someone to church, Lord. And just make different strides. Do things a little different. And Lord, we just want your blessing upon it. But God, we're not negligent to forget what you have done here, Lord. Not just in days gone by, but I'm thankful for what you've done since my family's been here. Father, a lot's been done, and we're thankful for that. And so, Father, we lean in and focus ourselves on our church that you have us at, those that are here tonight. And Father, help us to just be those working fingers and working toes, so that we can reach the potential we know that you want us to reach. We love you tonight. We thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, anything else to mention before we leave?